meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Content. Listener discretion is advised. 3, 2, 1, go! Adam Carolla and Dr. Quirrell. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and we have quite a show planned for you tonight. And I know that sounds like a lot of radio talk, but we never really do say that we have much of anything planned for the listeners, do we, Drew?
We know better than to say that.
No.
We never do.
No. But tonight we have a great combination. Jamie Bergman is in here first from Son of the Beach. It's 10 o'clock, Tuesday nights, FX. Jamie, and then Alec Baldwin is coming here later on. I believe he's from Knott's Landing. And I just looked at the... I didn't get to the second page of his bio. But Alec or...
Falcon Crest, I think it was, wasn't it?
I think it said Knott's Landing. But, well, we'll bring him in here in the 11 o'clock hour and see what's going on with him and his career. But, Jamie, I told Drew I don't want to embarrass you, but remember I said I did Son of the Beach?
Yes.
I did a whole week on Son of the Beach.
Yes.
And this beautiful blonde, Jamie,
yes,
was pregnant.
Right.
And that this has always been a stumbling block for me sexually.
Right.
But that... It worked
in her
on
case,
Jamie.
Right.
You remember that?
I know, but I have no doubt you said that.
Oh, you don't?
I don't
really?
Remember you saying
you
it.
You don't remember me saying that?
I remember you
that?
Carrying on about her. I do remember that.
About the breasts and everything?
Oh,
I remember
no.
you carrying on. I do remember you carrying on.
It wasn't. It was flattering, but it was really, there's something very exciting in a primitive way about seeing a beautiful pregnant woman in a bikini.
Hmm.
Well, thank you.
Oh.
Thank you very much.
Oh, Anderson said I said it on Stern, so I guess I guess I forgot where I was. Sorry, Drew.
Oh, you said it on Stern?
Well, whatever. The point is I said it, and I meant it, and I'm standing by it.
Well, thank you.
My point.
It's been fun.
Yeah, the pregnancy or the having me comment on your swollen breasts?
Both.
Oh, really?
It's nice to feel, you know, have someone say that you look beautiful when you're pregnant, because when you're pregnant, it's like...
You don't feel that way.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Are people, well, the women are all over you. Are the guys kind of weird? Like, do they not know what to say?
They are a little weird. Yeah, they want to help so much, though. It's adorable at work, especially, you know, are you okay? Are you okay? And you kind of make a, you know, flinch or something, and they're like, oh my God, are you okay?
Yeah.
It's, and the girls are always like, oh, when are you due? What are you having?
Right. And it's funny because all women hate each other.
Except when they're pregnant.
Yeah, maybe it's
that
like
is very
maybe
true.
It's like you're on injured reserve for a few months, like you're not going to get into the lineup somehow, so they can be nice to you. Like
that's
some
true.
Prima donna guy who hits 400, blew out his knee, so you can be cool to him in the locker room for a couple of weeks until he rehabs, and then you're back in the game again, and then it's bitch on again, right?
They smile at you.
Yeah, well, the Son of the Beach girls are all, they seem to get along very well because there's one of each type. So there's not a whole lot of competition. I think if you get too many blondes, too many of the flat-chested smart brunettes, or too many of the big-chested blondes, or too many of the whatever in a single show, single cast, there's going to be some fighting going on. But Son of the Beach, everyone seemed to get along pretty well.
We do. It's been that way from the start too. I love Lila to death. She's she plays Jamaica St. Croix.
Yeah, she's great.
She's great.
Yeah, she was number two on my list, by the way. You're number one.
She pregnant too?
Not yet.
No.
No, she's not.
But if I get to my list,
oh, I see.
I could possibly
then I fall into number two.
Yes. Well, Jamie, and I'll tell you, I'm looking at your bio, and I had no idea that you were a playmate in January of '99.
I was.
Oh, do I got work to do when I get home? Because
yeah.
I just had no idea. All right.
So you can see a before and after.
Yeah, yeah, and then after. Yeah. All right, so Son of the Beach, I had a great time doing. I think it's a great show.
You were great, by the way.
Don't do it.
No, I wasn't that good. I wasn't that good. I wasn't really prepared. I'm not used to memorizing lines.
You had a lot of lines, though.
Oh, I know.
You had a lot of dialogue, which is unusual for that show.
Yeah, I showed up late one day, and the British director yelled at me, said they had to make do with a whole bunch of different shots and everything. And Jamie, it's weird. Jamie's pregnant, so they have a body double stand in for Jamie when she does her acting scenes. So what happens is you face the body double and act with the body double.
Right, right, right.
And Jamie sits on a lounge chair 40 feet to your left and actually reads the dialogue.
Oh.
So it's very distracting because obviously you're supposed to have a conversation with the person who's in front of you, but Jamie's standing behind you and 40 clicks to the left.
And she's just moving her head at the motions.
Yeah, I wanted to punch her in the stomach. Hey, bitch, pipe up. I've been talking to you for 20 minutes.
Well, they wrote in the pregnancy, so we don't have to do that
Oh, they
anymore.
Did?
Right.
Oh, good.
So now I'm pregnant BJ.
Smart, smart. And Jamie was saying during the break before we got started, which is she has one kid in her now, but initially had two. You had a vanishing twin?
Yes.
What is that?
It's common. The twin just gets absorbed in the body.
Because you didn't love it enough?
No, that wouldn't happen.
Oh.
No, it's a common thing.
It just gets reabsorbed?
Mm-hmm. It does. It's early in the pregnancy too, so it's not like a miscarriage. It just gets absorbed.
It might even be a complete, you know, process going on.
Really?
Yeah.
They call it a vanishing twin?
There's various names for it, but it's
interesting.
Resorbs, or it sometimes sloughs and
comes out. Wow. But it's not like having an abortion.
No.
It's just reabsorbed.
It's reabsorbed, yeah. We actually began with quadruplets.
Yeah, that's four. Drew has triplets.
And one was resorbed.
Oh, wow. How do you know one didn't just eat the other one or the three?
Well, we have some.
I think Paulina may have eaten.
She might have.
Eaten the fourth kid.
If it was a girl, I have no doubt.
She didn't need any competition. All right. Oh. What a life that kid has in France right now, ice skating.
Right, yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right, let's take some calls and start off with Megan, who's 18. Megan?
Hi.
What's up?
Not much.
Doesn't Jamie smell good?
Thank you. Oh, God, I'm so nervous. Okay, first of all, I love you guys, and I've listened to you, like, every night for 4 years.
Thanks.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think you're, like, the most brilliant man on earth.
Thanks.
And Drew, I think you're the sexiest, and I'd love to marry you. But
oh my goodness!
Oh,
Megan.
sorry, I just think you're so cute. But anyways, I was listening to the. I'm in Baltimore, so I get the show like the night after you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was listening to your show last night, and you got a caller from a transsexual guy named Tommy.
Yeah, girl going to guy. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, FTM.
Which is very, very rare.
Adam is declared.
To Adam,
it
yes.
is, yeah.
And I just, this is literally the only thing I've ever heard come out of Adam's mouth that I've disagreed with. But you basically said that he needed to be fixed, and I just wanted to know what your guys' view on transsexuals was.
You mean emotionally fixed?
Well, I mean, obviously this person has to be going through a lot of crap, but
yeah.
I didn't know if you meant that, like, they had to be changed or like...
Yeah. Well, listen, here's my views on transsexuals.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's no greater definition of crazy than wanting to have your genitalia removed
and
swapped out with some other genitalia that probably doesn't work
that
well.
Think about it this way, Megan. And now, just for sake of argument, I'm not taking a real position on this yet, but
right.
What if you said, my arm is troubling me.
Right.
It has to be removed. Or
yeah.
My hand
is possessed. I can't stop scratching my balls in public. It needs to be removed.
No, you're right. You're so right. I've heard of that, and those people are nuts. And
I know those people are nuts, but we hear people say, well, it's a woman trapped inside a man's body, and everyone goes, oh, I wasn't aware of that. Oh, I see. A woman was reabsorbed inside a man's body, and I see. I thought the person was crazy or had issues, but now there's a woman trapped in there, so she must be released. This is crazy. This is the definition of crazy.
See, okay, I agree with you on the whole, like, chopping off your appendages thing. That's nuts. And literally, there are people out there that just want to cut off their penis just because, and those people are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, I've dated an FTM guy for 5 years.
That's a... slow down with that.
Female to male?
Yes.
So you dated a... What began as a female...
Well,
and
yeah.
is now a male.
Well, he's only 18, too, so... He just basically dresses and goes by a male name.
Right, but he has a vagina, right?
Yes.
Which, by the way, is going to be the name of my new children's book.
He has a vagina.
He has a vagina.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
He's bisexual.
So
so you're dating a woman essentially wears flannel.
Yeah, you're just sort of wearing a cross-dresser.
I was up until 2 months ago, but yes.
And so doesn't that make you a lesbian?
No, because...
Hold on, this is going to be good.
Gotta diagram this.
Wait a minute. I want to know why this doesn't make you a lesbian. Because she calls herself Steve. That's why you're not a lesbian?
No, Adam.
Because?
because I wasn't attracted to her as a girl. It's like every single person that knows this person literally just thinks of her as a guy. It's just sort of like, oh, like, whatever her name was is just a guy. It just, like, happened to be that way.
So you would not be interested. Well, when you had sex, mm-hmm. How did that work? What'd you do?
Well, dildo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was strap-on variety?
No. See, that was the problem with the relationship. I didn't want to get into the whole thing, but...
Yeah, but you had to know that. You had to know that was coming.
Well, he never talked about it with me, so...
Never talked about what?
Never talked about any of this.
And, what about when he got his period once a month? Did that,
Wasn't mentioned.
Okay, I see. And he borrowed, like, a tampon or pad from you that didn't... It wasn't distracting at all?
Well, we didn't live together, so.
I see. Okay.
I'm only 18.
Wow. Okay.
Want to probe what's up with her?
No.
What?
But there's something going on with you, right?
Well, see, yeah, I mean, I've been going through... I didn't know really what I was when I was in the relationship, like lesbian or what.
Yeah.
And now that I was outside of the relationship, I still didn't know what I was. So
you're a lesbian.
I've been doing, like, a lot of thinking lately, and I'm just basically attracted to people that, like, women that want to look like and live as guys, or, like, really feminine, or not really feminine, like, just really... sensitive guys.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I don't know. I guess I'm just weird that way. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. Are you in therapy or anything? Are you trying to sort this puzzle of a life out for yourself?
Well, yeah, I have a psychiatrist and I talk to the school counselor and everything.
All right. Okay.
Well, good.
You'll figure it out.
Hey, good time, Sarah Megan.
I just have a problem with you, like, calling these people, like, crazy.
Cause yeah, I know. But that's coming from someone who's crazy who dated one of them.
I'm not crazy. Like, obviously these people have problems because, I mean, obviously if you are thinking of yourself as another way and society is, like, saying, no, you're not that, like, you're going to have some problems. But it's not because you want to be that. It's just that's how you are. It has nothing to do with, like...
All right, I've heard enough. Look, that's to me crazy. You would, Jamie, you'd never want to become a man, would you?
No, I love being a woman.
Yeah, you should. You should really, really enjoy it. Drew, you all right?
I always feel fun. Yes, I'm fine with it. But those kinds of conversations, my head just starts spinning every time.
It's hard to keep track of because what they do is they start calling him she, but... Or in her case, she started calling he all the time, but it's not a he, it's a she. It's a mess. It is the very definition of insanity to me to have your genitalia removed.
One of the things that people do that are still operating on a primitive level is they evoke all kinds of funny feelings in everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's immediately what happens to me when I start talking to someone like that. I'm spotting emotionally. I just don't know who I am.
But she didn't look at herself as a lesbian, really, did she?
No, she didn't.
No. All right. Who doesn't know where he is? Wayne?
Yes.
You're 17?
Uh-huh.
You are the youngest person named Wayne in North America. The second closest is 41.
All right. Well, my question is... All right, when I'm masturbating, I can get a hard-on, but it's...
Wait, Jamie's having a contraction. Relax here.
You feeling something?
No.
Huh?
No, I'm fine.
She doesn't appreciate that kind of language in front of her fetus. All right, so when you're masturbating, what happens?
All right, when I'm masturbating, I can get a hard-on.
Hold on, let me pray.
My girlfriend, it's extremely hard to get a hard-on.
Difficult.
Yes.
And how long have you been with your girlfriend?
I've been with her about a year and a half.
And how many times have you tried to be with her?
Having intercourse?
Mm-hmm.
Two, three times a week.
You've attempted it and can't do it.
I mean, we have, but it's like really, really hard, or sometimes I won't even get it up.
Just use the word difficult. It's like I'm still trying to recover from the lesbian male-female thing. are you on any medication?
No.
Do you drugs?
No, I haven't done drugs in, like, months.
What drugs were you doing?
I did weed but that was, like, maybe once a month.
All right. Do you have any medical problems?
They had diagnosed me with depression at one time.
Yeah, but they didn't treat you?
They treated me for maybe a couple months, and then I didn't want to do the pills anymore, so I quit.
Hmm. Have you ever had a successful outing with your girlfriend sexually?
We had one, but it was like in the movies. It was in the middle of the movies, but...
And you had sex with her in the middle of a movie?
Yeah.
And you've been attempting this 3 times a week, and they're unsuccessful every time?
Just about.
Except when you're alone?
Except
with yourself?
When I'm alone. Like, I'll read an erotic story or something, and...
Are you nervous when you're with her?
Erotic story? Oh, wait a minute. Whoa. Now you're really thrown at him.
Yeah,
be careful.
What era are you calling from, son?
I'm calling from
by candlelight? What are you doing reading erotic stories when you have VCRs?
I don't know. I just, like, the stories just, like, turn me on or whatever.
You're gay.
Can you read a story with her?
Huh? I've never tried reading
stories. See, this
stories
is very...
I
this
like
is
reading lesbian stories.
Okay, but... Now, wait a minute. I'm beginning to go bogus here.
Really?
Yeah.
But, Wayne, we may think you're making this up now.
It does not fit with what men do.
Where do you read these lesbian stories?
I usually get them offline.
I see. And it's not Nancy Drew, is it? Was she a lesbian?
Mm-hmm.
Drew says yes. So you read lesbian stories and beat off while you're in front of the computer?
Yeah.
And you've had sex with your girlfriend in a movie theater? You've had intercourse?
Yes.
No, I'm going bogus.
How do you have intercourse in a movie theater?
There wasn't very many people in there. It was like in the middle of the night. And there were like 2 other people in there, and they left.
Hold on a second. Jamie, what do you think? Bogus?
Well, maybe. I mean, how do you know?
Because it doesn't make sense. Women read stories and become aroused. Men read stories and want to go look at things. They don't...
Mentally?
They don't do that. Men don't do that.
All right, let me see.
They just don't. And
Wayne, what movie was it?
It was the one that just came out with Arnold Schwarzenegger. What was it called?
Oh, the one they put off because it had a terrorist plot?
Yeah, that was the one.
Right, Collateral Damage.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right. She sat on top of you in the movie theater?
First off, it just, like, started me fingering her and her jacking me off, but then it progressed to her being on top.
You sweet talker, you. All right. I don't know what to say. And imagine the next son of a bitch you sat down in that seat. It's like, oh, these guys with the imitation butter. Oh, it gets all over the place.
Oh, my God.
Not a popcorn tub made that can hold this imitation butter. All right.
Oh, my God.
So what should he do, Drew?
This whole, I can't get my head around this thing. Something is very wrong with Wayne. Either it's bogus,
mm-hmm.
or this depression that he had was more serious than he's letting on.
Okay, but it's safe to say 17, he probably doesn't have any big medical problems.
Apparently not.
He's trying to find his groove. A lot of guys have difficulty finding their groove sexually. He's been with this person for a while.
He's trying 3 times a week, but unsuccessfully. It just doesn't all fit.
But
listen, we agree he needs an assessment, right? Agree on that? That's as far as we're going to get with Wayne.
By who?
The people who are treating his depression. He needs to go back in and talk about this problem.
All right. Kelly?
Hello?
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, basically, I'm Kelly's friend. She can't talk, but she was on spring break. And she was with her parents, and she got raped.
Wait. Your friend got raped?
Yes.
Who's in the room with you now?
Yes, she's here.
You have to put her on the phone.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
she can talk.
She can't. She won't do it.
Unacceptable.
Well, she needs to. We need to talk to her. Because otherwise, this is going to be just
It's not going
to
work.
It's going to be like an embassy where we're talking to you, and then you translate for her.
Well, I know what her question is, though. It's really simple. We want to know, like, if it's possible if she's pregnant, because she hasn't had her period since.
Of course it's possible.
Even if she didn't have her period? Because she hasn't had it since last summer.
Does she have an eating disorder or something?
I don't know.
Why hasn't she had her period since last summer?
All right. Well, see, more stumping questions.
Yeah.
We need to put Kelly on the phone. Just put her on the phone.
Hold on, okay?
Yep.
All right. Mm. So, when's the new season of Son of the Beach start?
It'll start airing sometime in June.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Kelly?
She won't call on the phone.
Oh, all right. Well, look, here's what we're going to do.
All right.
We're going to put you on hold.
Okay.
You can talk to your friend Kelly mm-hmm. and get her to come to the phone.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why, because Drew already started in on a question that you didn't know the answer for. And it's just going to be, it's going to be too long if it goes back and forth.
I think she does have an eating disorder.
Of course she
does. I know, but you're either speculating or she's holding up a chalkboard that says, I have an eating disorder. Either way, it's distracting.
All right.
You understand, you answering the question, I think she does, is no good.
And listen,
here, I know.
Kelly, here's the deal. You guys are so far off in terms of how you're dealing with this problem. We need to talk to Kelly to motivate her to get the proper interventions right now. That's right. It, period. Worrying about whether or not she's pregnant is rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. You understand me? She needs help, and we need to talk to her about that. You got it?
Yeah.
We'll put you on hold right now.
All right.
And when she's ready, we'll talk to her.
All right. All right.
Well, how do we know when she's ready?
Tara will keep checking her.
Huh?
All right. It won't be that long. We'll be getting back, all right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Titanic, huh?
Titanic.
All right.
Kelly is the Titanic.
Don't you think the Edmund Fitzgerald would be a
Lusitania?
Right. The Andrea Doria would be a better reference for the young kids?
It didn't go down.
Oh, it didn't?
Did it?
Oh, it caught on fire and then got beached in, like, New Jersey?
Something like that.
No, I think it went down. Okay.
Right.
Jamie, did it go down?
It went down.
The Edmund Fitzgerald or the Andrea Doria?
I don't know.
All right. Jennifer?
Yes.
I think the only thing women know less about than war
dad's job.
And what their dads do for a living is maritime disasters. You could stop any woman on the street and go, I will give you $1 million if you can name one ship that sunk other than the Titanic. You have 1 hour. Go. Yes, you can confer with your friends. Do you ever think you would get an answer?
No.
No, it's impossible. All right. Jennifer?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yes. Hi, Adam.
What's up?
Hey, Jamie.
Hi.
First of all, I want to say thank you, Addison, y'all, every night, and you really do help me out. So.
Thanks.
Thanks for that. And my question is that ever since I became sexually active, it's been with, like, older men. I mean, like, right now I'm talking to two guys, and one is 28 and the other is 33.
All right, hold on a sec.
Okay.
All right, are you having sex with these guys?
Yes.
All right, okay.
Hold on.
That's good. I mean, it's not good for you, but it's better for us.
Okay.
Well, you know, for the commercial break. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is entertainment.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Jamie Bergman is our guest tonight. She's from Son of the Beach, 10 o'clock Tuesday nights on FX. We'll take a quick break. We'll get back with Jennifer right after this. Hey, everybody. Back with more Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jamie Bergman from Son of the Beach, the beautiful, beautiful blonde, is on our show tonight. Mm-hmm. Son of the Beach, Tuesday nights on FX, 10 o'clock. Alec Baldwin is coming in here in the next hour, and we'll talk to him and look forward to that then. And until then, we can get back to the phones. Now, Jennifer is 18. She's dating guys in their early 30s.
Late 20s. Now, Jennifer, when you started this habit, how old were you?
Actually, I was, like, 17.
And how old were the oldest guys then?
33. I just turned 18 in February.
Do you ever date guys your own age?
No, that's the thing. I mean, I've tried to... I'm just not attracted. I mean,
right.
I guess it's just...
Now, listen. Hold on a second. Let's let Jamie answer this one, don't you think? Hey, what would you say to a woman 17, 18, dating a guy 10, 15 years her age?
What would I say or what do I think? I think older men are more... attractive to girls.
But think about, here's my concern, is here you have a guy.
Drew, you ever got the right answer out of somebody and try to get the right answer out of?
No, I'm looking for a right answer. I'm just engaging in discussion.
Yeah, you're such an idiot.
Here's my concern.
You never get the right answer.
No, I'm really looking for an answer.
You're looking for her for Jamie to say that it's not right.
No, I'm actually looking for her to convince me otherwise. I'd be interested in a different point of view. My concern is that a guy who is 30 dating someone who's in high school, the guy is suspect.
Unless
who that guy is.
Unless he's in the industry.
Unless
then it's cool.
Unless he's in entertainment.
In LA, in the industry. Right.
That's fine.
But think of who that guy is. That guy isn't someone that you want her with, especially not having sex with.
Exactly.
But I think Jamie was putting herself back at 18 years old.
Right, when I was 18 years old, I was looking, you know, I was fast. I was, you know, not in my head and looking for the best thing, and you know, it's very easy to fall for someone who's a lot older than you.
Yeah, and what do you want some 22-year-old guy who's wet behind the ears? He's driving some beat-up Mazda pickup truck.
Yeah, and it depends on how she grew up. I mean, I grew up very fast. I'm premature for my age. And basically raised myself. So being with men that were my own age just seemed like they were a little more immature.
Why did you raise yourself? What happened?
My parents divorced when I was three. And my mom raised me. And she worked full time, so I basically had to take care of the house, had to take care of myself, had to come home to an empty house. So, you know, being around older people was just, I don't know, a little easier than...
You weren't a tomboy, were you?
I was a tomboy.
Oh, Christ. What, is every hot chick a tomboy?
That's the law of nature, evidently. We're proving it here.
Yeah. We had horses. I had to take care of horses, you know, clean the stalls, do man chores. So, I don't know, maybe, are you in that same situation?
That's actually exactly.
I think that's what the problem is.
I mean, it's just that I've always had older friends, and I've always hung out with older people. And
same with me.
And right. People my age just...
All right, maybe you should be seeing a guy in his 40s. I mean, maybe you should move up a few years. I'm starting to think 33 is too young.
Do you have any, did you learn any lessons that she needs to watch out for, having been in the same place? Can you impart some wisdom on her?
I think the lesson learned to me was just missing out being with people my own age.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's exactly how I feel, but it's almost as if I can't. I mean, I've tried to do things, you know, with people my age, but it's almost like I can't. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I'm around it, I just feel like, you know, older than it. Do you know what I mean?
Right, but that's okay. I mean, I think it's okay to be a little more mature than everybody else. But if you fall in the trap of keep dating, you know, guys that are older than you,
yeah,
you know, when you're at the time of 25 years old, ready to have children, and, you know, they're 50.
Yeah, you know what's weird is...
You kind of just need to train yourself to...
Yeah.
To be around...
Guys like being the old one. I mean, it's nice being the leader of the pack.
The old one.
Yeah, having people sort of look up to you and listen when you're talking and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Pops.
But, yeah, sit down, kids. Everyone listen to me. I got a tail to weave. But I don't think women like that. Well, women would rather be younger and have an older person than be the older one and be around the younger people.
I think that's changing these days, but yeah.
All right. Hey, Jennifer?
Yeah.
Look, I worry about these guys, too. I don't trust any 33-year-old guy who's dipping into high school.
So I was just going to say, do you think their intentions are bad, then? I mean,
no, they're just idiots. Unless they're in the industry, like I said. I don't trust these guys.
It's hard to imagine that they could truly be empathic of your needs. How could they be concerned with anything except a physical relationship with you?
I don't think they look at her as a human
person,
being.
Right.
Yeah, they look at her as a hot 18-year-old.
Exactly.
Come here and give me a hug.
I'm sorry. Did I make that sound bad, by the way? I didn't mean it to be pejorative. Well, I meant that was a good thing.
Right.
Yeah.
It is a good thing.
Yeah, you look at him as a subhuman. Well, not subhuman, non-human. There's a difference. Eddie?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
When I ejaculate, I get cramps in my stomach.
Ejaculate?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it hurts a lot.
Every time?
Yeah.
And you're alone, right?
Yeah.
How often are you doing this?
Well, that's the thing. I have to do it before I go to bed, or else I can't go to sleep.
But you have cramps in your abdomen. How do you go to sleep when you're in pain?
Well, I still can get one off. It just hurts.
Yeah.
Is that an answer?
Yeah, he can do it. It's just it's intestinal fortitude. That's what guys have when it comes to beating off.
They don't
have it for yard work. They have it for beating off.
Does it feel kind of like you were kicked in the nuts?
Yeah.
That can be a lot of different things, actually. Are you on any medication?
Mm-mm.
Sometimes it's just something as simple as a spasm of the muscles down there. This pubococcygeus muscle can spasm and cause pain. But my concern is it can be other things as well. So you need to get a physical and have a doctor look at you and tell him or her about this.
Oh, he's going to tell her about his beat off?
She would be a doctor just as much as he would.
No. Eddie, unless she's Indian.
There's good
women, Indian, female Indian doctors are good, but I wouldn't trust a white female doctor.
Why?
Don't trust them.
I see. Don't. Okay.
Have you watched soap operas, Drew? Do you know what these doctors do?
What do they do?
Oh, they have sex with everybody.
Everybody.
They're conniving. Yeah. They're thieving.
Mm.
You know, have you seen the way they're portrayed?
Come on.
It's true. Do you watch soaps?
No.
Well, then you would know. You're too busy with your work to stay home and watch soaps. But you know how evil doctors are, Drew. That's why I've never trusted you.
I figured it was something.
Eddie?
Yeah?
Maybe you should change your position and venue. Why don't you beat off in the shower?
I've tried that, and it's
why don't you lay off it for a good 4 or 5 days? Just do it.
Drew, I'm 37. I couldn't make it 3 days.
I just you've got a long record of, you know, etched into your brain. Your physiology wouldn't tolerate it.
Yeah.
Bust or something.
Yeah,
so Eddie's got 2 years under his belt and like 20 years.
Yeah, I know. But, you know the beauty of me is I keep evolving. I keep changing, even with the masturbation.
Oh, yeah?
New situations, new techniques.
Well, are you telling us something?
I've Jamie, you may want to hear about that. I've implemented the whack bib just over the last few years.
Your very own.
Well, it's different. I mean, it can be anything. No, I didn't have one custom made.
I see. Like
my initials and a bullseye on it.
Big lobster on it or something.
Yeah, put the strap around my neck. Yeah. I clip it on there and walk around the house with it. No, I just mean I was never a guy who did the bib setup. You know what I'm saying?
Because you did it into a tube sock.
No, I didn't do it into a tube sock.
How dare you?
How dare you, Drew?
I understood that was your technique. I'm sorry.
No.
Well, you're always talking about your socks that you could break.
Well, I'm just saying that I was told by a roommate many years ago to use the bib, and I made fun of him.
I see.
And now I've seen. I'm just saying I'm still evolving. That's all I'm saying.
Got it. Listen, Eddie, my opinion is you do need to check out, because there actually can be serious things that can cause this, even though sometimes it's nothing, sometimes it is serious. Unless you've been examined, no one can know for sure.
All right. James?
Yeah.
27?
Yes, sir.
Your girlfriend says she wants to break up, but calls every day?
Yeah, it's kind of weird, man. We've been together for 2 years. We moved up here together, decided to start a new life together. We were engaged. Get here a week later, she decides that she doesn't want to be with me anymore and all this, but she still calls me all the time and talks to me all the time and all this and comes by. And
why did she decide she didn't want to be with you?
I'm really not sure. She just said she just changed. I don't know. One day she wants to have a family. She wants to get married and all that. The next day she says she has so many things she wants to do before she settles down.
She's alone in Denver in a new town, right?
Yeah.
You're the only person she knows.
Well, no, actually, we're the only two people we only know each other.
I know. Wait a minute, as opposed to the only two people.
Loveline, reenactment.
So, you're alone, you've come to Denver, and you're the only two people that you know.
No, we're the only two people who know each other. Yeah. Imagine the stimulating conversation that goes on.
Between those two. Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ. They better have a satellite, or it's going to be long, long nights in front of that TV. James?
Yeah.
All right, so she's contacting you. You're sort of a life preserver there for her. She's alone, and she's freaked out, and understandably so.
And you didn't do anything. You didn't get caught cheating or anything like that.
No. In fact, she did more of me than I did
on her. Well, you know what? I get that strange...
She's chaotic?
I get that strange alcoholism thing here. Well, is she drinking or doing drugs or something?
No, actually, believe it or not, she doesn't do anything but eat, and she's not even fat.
How about you? Why do I get that here?
I drink occasionally, but that's about it.
Nobody's getting some momentum with something here. Neither of you.
Well, you see, I think she's trying to test me to see, I think she's trying to put me through some kind of a test to see if I'm still going to stick by her side no matter what she does.
Nope, no, that doesn't happen. That's not what people do, James.
I figured that until I got to about the 2-year mark where I'd realized. I guess it never was a test. It's been full 2 years now. I guess she's not coming back. That's an interesting spin, though, the test.
Yeah.
So basically, I should just try my best to get over.
I think I would, and it doesn't seem like you're missing out on all that much.
She never did any drugs.
Did she cheat on you, James?
I think she did, but she won't admit it.
She never did any drugs?
She used to smoke pot, but that was before me and her ever got together.
How long have you guys been together?
2 years.
We've been together about 18 months.
18 months.
All right.
I don't know. I get that drug vibe.
James?
Yeah.
You can do better. But so can she.
Mm. Well, okay. So then they
everyone can do better. All right?
All right.
All right. Sorry, buddy. But what the hell do you want me to do? Go over there and talk her into it? I mean,
no,
it's over.
I understand.
You can do better. You
I
do better.
I don't have anybody else to talk to for advice. So
well, what do you do? Are you working?
Yeah, I work for I work for a satellite company.
Okay. So there you go. You got a lot of guys at work you can talk to?
Yeah, but I just don't know any of them yet.
All right. Well, this is it.
Take them out, spend time with them, get some relationships going. You need some support right now.
True.
Yeah.
Is this a mathematical impossibility? And Jamie, weigh in on this, too. Can both people do better in a relationship? Is it possible? Do you know what I mean?
I try not to think that way.
You don't think that way?
If you're in a relationship, why would you think that there's something out there better?
Because it's a distraction. It keeps you away from being intimate. Is that right?
That would be the average male answer, yeah.
Yeah. You don't think about doing better?
No, I'm content. I'm happy. If I'm being treated awful, of course I think I can do better and look for something better, but I'm perfectly happy in my relationship.
Right. Maybe you just sound offensive. That's I posed it as just sort of a open-ended question, and Jamie got all weird on it. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I'm pregnant, okay?
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. I could only imagine what that's like.
The hormones.
I mean, just, what is this? Is this like your period times 10?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
are you a not-good pregnant person?
Some people
are good pregnant
people.
Some people, you know what I mean?
I go through phases. Yeah. You know, one minute I'm fine, and the next
Your wife, you know what I would have done with your wife when she was with the triplets?
Pray tell what?
8 months. I would have locked myself in a goddamn shark cage inside the living room. And I would have hired like a day laborers to clean me and feed me.
You'd still need one of those big things they use for the sharks to keep them away from the cage.
Yeah, I'd use like a bang stick to keep them away from the cage. And then what I would do at night is I would cut leg holes in the bottom so I could lift it up like a skirt
and run around,
move around, get a little exercise and live. But as soon as they were coming, I would just drop the cage.
She was not a happy pregnant person, but an amazingly sort of tolerated a lot. In and out of the hospital all the time.
Oh, I mean,
Drew's wife was hooked up at home to like monitors.
Yeah,
and
I did not get any complaints, really. I mean, really. If that had been either you or I, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Think how we would have kvetched.
No, people always say that. Oh,
no.
You,
oh, no,
man,
no.
You couldn't take
it.
You Adam, could not this take. Was, I think we could take it.
This was extraordinary.
You know what I think? I think if guys got pregnant by now, what's it been? Millions of years, Drew?
Mm.
We'd have it down to about 6 months. We would have shaved this 9-month thing way down.
Okay.
We've gotten it over with and moved on.
Some women are really good pregnant women. Yeah. They're super happy. They've never been felt better. And some are like miserable, never felt worse.
Like I said, I'm in between.
Yeah.
But I'm aware when I'm not feeling good. So I'll tell my husband, okay, you just need to walk away right now.
Really? You let him leave?
Right. Or I'll leave I understand that it's pregnancy and my hormones are changing and,
right.
You know, and it's very difficult to work on Son of the Beach next to Lila and Amy who are in bikinis and tip-top shape and I'm pregnant and, you know, my thighs are growing.
Let me say this, and I mean this with all the respect in the world. You looked great. And those breasts of yours were so swollen, it was great. Drew, you know the difference between big breasts and swollen breasts?
Yes, I remember you talking about that.
Swollen breasts are better than big breasts.
I see.
It's like you've packed more into it than should have been there. You understand?
You'll listen to the sound of my voice and you'll snap out of it now. Okay, there we go.
Who's number one?
Yeah, that's Minka. All right, we'll take a little break. Jamie Bergman is here from, Son of the Beach. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jamie Bergman is our guest tonight. She's from Son of the Beach. 10 o'clock Tuesday nights, FX. Alec Baldwin, the great actor, will be coming in here in just a couple of few. And we'll take some calls in the meantime. Kane?
Yeah.
You're 28?
I'm 28.
What's up?
I got a question for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to me the difference between hepatitis B and hepatitis C? And the different ways they're transmitted.
They're two entirely different viruses. They just happen to infect the liver. Okay?
Both of them do.
What's that?
From what I understand, one of them can be transmitted through saliva.
Well, B is much more contagious than C. C is essentially, just think of it as being virtually the same as HIV. Okay?
Isn't that what they're saying Pamela Anderson has right now?
Yes, C. C is a common thing. I've been talking about it for years. We see it mostly in drug users. It is probably sexually transmissible, just like HIV. It has a high probability of going on to cirrhosis and even possibly liver cancer. It does have some treatments that are fairly effective, mm-hmm. and people should be on those treatments if they have hepatitis C.
So is hepatitis B and hepatitis C aren't alike at all other than the fact that they both attack the liver?
One's a DNA virus, one's an RNA virus. Yeah, they're very, very different. And even the chronic liver diseases that each cause, C causes the inflammation of the liver from chronic production of hepatitis C virus. B causes an immune reaction that triggers the immune system to come in and attack the liver.
And
so it responds to immune suppressive medications.
So why do they call them both hepatitis?
Hepatitis just means hepatitis means inflammation of the liver. That's all it means.
That's it?
That's all it means.
But is it transmitted through saliva, hepatitis B?
A is transmitted through saliva. B is still a bloodborne, but highly, highly, highly contagious.
B is highly contagious.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And C, and what about A? Is there an A?
A is the oral fecal for you. You're enjoying.
Oh,
and
true.
And it is highly contagious. Yes.
No more ass darting.
There is no chronic A.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
No more ass darting. No, Adam.
And there's a shot you can get for hepatitis B, isn't there?
Yes, and for A.
And for A.
Yeah, and we should all have those.
Yeah, we all should, except for I've been working next to Drew for a goddamn 7 years. I haven't gotten one yet.
You want them? It's a series. They're both a series.
We go through this dance
I'll order
every
for
six
you.
Months.
It probably costs about
every
five.
6 months, they say, oh, you want them? When I say, I want them, you go, you want them? Okay.
It'd be about $500 for the series, I bet you.
Really?
Of both, yeah, I bet you.
Screw it.
I bet you. Well, that's what I said last time.
My liver's worth like $350.
You pansy!
$500, that's a new liver.
I'll check into the prices.
Please. $500?
Your insurance might pay for it, though.
Yeah?
It seems to me worth your while, you know.
I could certainly write it off, could I not?
But you're going to get C anyway from shooting all that heroin, so what the hell?
I smoke heroin. I don't shoot
all right,
it.
All right.
Please, you get caught with a couple of track marks, and it's like, oh, you're a junkie all of a sudden. Kaylin?
Yes?
I was completely sober on the set of Son of the Beach, yes?
Really? How many takes did we do with you?
Wait a minute. Hold a second. He came back and said he was a genius. He complained about the fact that the day before he'd been told to get there at 9 o'clock and things didn't heat up until about 11, so God damn it, he was going to get there at 11 the next day. Of course, that was an hour late.
Right, and then they yelled at me for being late.
Where's Adam?
Did he know his line? Somebody have to hold up a card over your body double's head behind him?
Yeah, why don't you guys use cue cards? Everyone is so grandiose in TV. Oh, we're too good for cue cards. Cue cards are fine. I use them all the time.
Yeah.
I use them in real life, too.
You should have just asked.
Date
I
starts
could have
going
held over
bad.
On my little chair.
Yeah, you could have.
Yeah.
Instead of that.
Because I was sitting down, you
chick
know?
Who wasn't talking. It was supposed to be you.
Just moving her head like she was talking.
Yeah, I had a whole bunch of stuff to say, and I didn't memorize any of it. It was pressure packed, Drew. But I really came through.
See?
Kaylin?
Yes.
You're 14?
Mm-hmm.
Tom Shales called my appearance a triumph.
Oh, really? Your favorite man?
Yeah.
Everybody?
Big fat homo, Tom Shales.
All right, Caitlin, what's up?
My sister, I think, like, her boyfriend are, like, having sex or doing oral something while I'm home. And I'm really uncomfortable with it.
Have you told her?
No, I don't know how to tell her. I'm kind of nervous.
Do you have any other siblings?
Yes, two older brothers. Moved out and stuff.
Well, could you talk to them?
This is her sister?
Yeah.
Was doing stuff with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Well, how old is the sister?
17.
You just don't like that they're doing it at all, or that they're doing it near you and their
house?
While you're home. And your parents are not home when they're doing this?
They're either, like, asleep or they're not home. I think it's mostly when they're not home.
Can you discuss this with your older brothers? Do you have that kind of relationship with them?
One of my brothers, I'm not sure if I could talk.
Well, are they up on the upper bunk while you're trying to sleep, or are they
no,
in another
I'm
room?
No, it's a totally different room, but I'll be like,
yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd stay out of this one.
Okay.
I mean, is it that big a deal? Is it that disturbing to you?
I don't know. I just feel weird.
Yeah, I can understand.
Weird in that. Your sister's being intimate at too young an age, or just
it's a little disrespectful to you.
Yeah,
it's a little bit.
Well, what
Jamie,
what
would you tell her? What would you have her do?
I feel the same way. I mean, I would feel uncomfortable too, but I mean, it's...
What are you going to do?
Right.
Well, what do you want to... Should we,
can you go out when they're around? Can you go somewhere?
Knowing that anyone was in the other room to me,
it would be uncomfortable. Yeah.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's weird. When you're young, it's like, oh, someone's getting it on in the next room. I can't sleep. And now, I'd pay someone to get it on in the next room. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, right? Wouldn't you, girl?
Sure, Adam. Check.
No.
You wouldn't like that?
No.
Jeez, I'd be into that.
I know you wouldn't. I know.
Caitlin, are you a virgin?
Yeah.
And you're not having any boyfriends?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't you have a talk with your sister and just ask her to, I don't know, maybe be a little more respectful. But she's 17. She's got a boyfriend. She goes to her room and they screw around. You're in your room. Can't you just play a CD and, you know, kind of call the night? Do you like the guy?
He's okay.
Are you jealous?
No.
Okay.
No, it's just a weird, uncomfortable thing. It's one of those things.
I don't know how weird that is.
Listen, it's all right.
All right.
We're not saying she's got to make big change. It's not a disastrous situation. It's
whatever.
Just, we're validating her feelings, and
okay,
not much to be done.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's it. Jamie Bergman, you're out of here, baby.
Out of here. Thanks.
Making room for Alec Baldwin's hairy ass. I hate to hate to see you leave, but I am looking forward to seeing Alec as well. So, Son of the Beach, 10 o'clock Tuesday nights, FX. Thanks a lot, Jamie.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. We are back. Jamie Bergman is heading out to wherever Jamie Bergman hails from, and Alec Baldwin has joined us in the studio. The king of all Baldwins, Alec, is here. And let's see, we've had Stephen on the show
a couple times.
And we had any of the other Baldwins?
No.
Just, now Alec. Fantastic. I ran into Alec at JFK Airport about a month ago. That's when I'd only slept for an hour.
Oh, yeah.
But he was I thought a delight, and I've always been a big fan of his. And I'll tell you what impressed me most about him, and I said it to him, I think, when we were in JFK, but I'll say it now for everyone to hear. On Saturday Night Live, when Alec is on Saturday Night Live, most of the times when they have celebrities on there, they have to sort of work around them a little bit. The guy comes out, like, you go, Jesus Christ, how the hell is Joe Montana going to get through a five-minute monologue? And he steps out on stage, and he gets two syllables into it, and then sirens go off, and a bunch of balloons start falling from the sky, and they go, you've done our 1,500th monologue. And you realize, oh, that's how they get around it.
Right.
They work around it, and I understand they have to do that. Actors rehearse, they work with scripts, they don't do as many things in as short a period of time as Saturday Night Live would do, but Alec is better than the goddamn cast when he does this show.
God
and
bless
that
you.
Is impressive, man.
Will you go on and you either make fun of yourself and your own work, or you just become another one of the members of the cast and just make an ass of yourself?
I tell you what, he does De Niro. Mm-hmm. It is spectacular.
I'm going to do the show again on the 20th of April.
Yeah, how many times?
With Elvis Costello.
Oh, Jesus, I love that guy.
It's fun. It's a really fun week. It's very similar to this. You know, you go somewhere and you hang out with some really twisted, sick people. It makes the day go by, you know.
And Alec has nothing to plug, by the way. Or do you?
No, well, I did a film last year that's going to be on HBO and May called Path to War, about the Vietnam War. But other than that, I'm here to talk about, I'm here to help. I'm here to help people.
That's what
with
I love.
Sexual hang-up.
That's what I love. And let me ask you a couple of quick questions. So we were talking during the break about Alec doing some independent stuff and all that. Do you need money at this point? I mean, I know you like money, but you can do projects if you like the project.
Sometimes.
And it's all based on pay.
I don't know exactly what you mean.
Well, what I mean is
you know, there's things you do for money, and then the longer you go. I mean, in the beginning, everybody's, you know, you get into a money phase.
Right.
Where you know, one day someone hands you a check and you can't believe how much you're getting paid. And, you know, cut to 2 years later, you're on the phone, tears streaming down your face, telling your agent, I got to get my hands on a fast million.
Right.
You
know what
I
mean? Right.
So it just it all just kind of ebbs and flows.
Adam, it sounds
and
like
then
you.
They just settle out of that.
Sounds like you.
I
heard Adam say that at the airport the other
day. Oh my God!
I'm an artist. The tears streaming down his face and everything. Yeah.
That's just because I couldn't get a Bloody Mary. You know, I'll tell you, let me say this about New York, by the way. Everyone talks about New York and how great it is and how this is a party town and how L.A.'s not a poser town. And they say, you know, the bars don't close until 4 a.m. in New York and you can drink until 4 a.m. and this is great. And they have a valid point, but what they don't tell you is you can't start drinking again until noon. You go to the airport at JFK, you think you're going to get yourself a highball in the lounge at 11 o'clock? No,
well,
you're cut off.
The domestic.
Was it domestic?
If you go to the international terminal, they're just lighting it up all day.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I got to get in there.
That's where you're going to. You got to fly for the international terminal.
All right. Even if I'm going back
to
LA.
They're pouring Merlot on their cornflakes over there.
I got to get over there. All right. So anyway, tickled pink to see Alec Baldwin here tonight.
This is an interesting piece of historical data. You interviewed Al Pacino for your NYU thesis paper.
Yes.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Is that where you got your graduate degree at NYU?
I didn't finish with my class in 1980, and I went and worked. And then in 93, I went back independent study to finish, and the project I had to do independent study was to interview Pacino about his acting technique.
Interesting.
And it was amazing.
Pacino was Pacino back then. I mean, he'd done his Dog Day Afternoons and his... what is it? Arthur? What the hell?
Serpico.
Yeah, he'd done his stuff. So was he hard to get?
No, I mean, most of those guys, you know, they don't, you know, they're pretty reticent. They don't want, the most tedious thing is to talk about acting, you know, which is why you look at Jim Lipton's show Inside the Actor's Studio, and he gets these people to come on and talk about it. You know, he's found a formula to make people feel comfortable about it, but to talk about acting, you find those interviews, the overwhelming portion of them are kind of anecdotal, you know, to talk about your technique. And I tried to interview Al about acting, not just anecdotal about his technique, about, you know, his. I said to him, you know, what's going through your mind when you're standing there with Richard Cox and cruising, and he's going down on you in Riverside Park, and you're shooting that scene at 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, what's your method technique?
Yeah, and his name is Dick Cox, essentially going down on you.
He said, "I'm thinking about how cold it is, and I'm freezing my ass off here by the Hudson River, and I want to go home." You know, he's like, he said, "I think about what other people think about." You know, it's not like I'm sitting here going, "Oh, I'm a French fry. Oh, I'm a I'm a piece of arugula." He's doing some acting exercise. You know?
Well, I made some pretty courageous choices playing the counselor in Son of the Beach that I'll get into with Al.
Oh,
you know,
my goodness,
during the break.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, John,
swollen.
John, you're 31.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Alec, you got kids, right?
I have a daughter, yes.
Well, and I know Drew's got children, right?
All right.
Yeah.
And I don't know who would possibly reproduce with Adam, but...
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. My question is, anal sex during pregnancy, is it safe?
Ooh, is that something?
Walter Raleigh is calling again. Who said chivalry was dead?
Is that something you and your wife were into before the pregnancy?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, there you go.
It was like, you know, once a month, every 6 weeks or so. You know, it wasn't just real consistent, but, yeah, every once in a while.
Sexual stimulation in general can get into some trouble in the third trimester if she's sort of threatening, but if it's a normal pregnancy, it shouldn't be a big deal.
No.
Be sure, though, I'll tell you what, vaginitis can cause risk to the pregnancy, so you got to make sure that none of that material gets exposed to her vagina. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you don't do the back to front thing.
You don't go back to front. You don't drag anything by that area because, again, that can put the pregnancy at risk.
How about just on a cosmic level, sodomizing a woman who's, you know, 6 months pregnant?
Carrying your child.
Yeah. Doesn't it carry some bad karma with it? Doesn't it make it to your reel? You know what I mean?
When you're defending your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
John, how far along is she?
She's not quite three months yet.
All right, okay. So you're still sort of early on here. It's all right.
Yeah.
You're not a police officer, right?
No.
Yeah. All right there, John. Good times.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. All right, she's going to give birth to a cider jug or a banjo anyway. It's not going to be an actual human being.
A corn husk.
Yeah, so it's a little out of tune. All right, let's talk to Meredith, who's 20. Meredith?
Hi.
What's up?
Well, first I want to make a comment on something I heard you say earlier tonight, and the USS Alabama and the USS Arizona.
All right.
What did you say?
I was talking about the...
Oh, two maritime disasters?
Yeah. It took her 45 minutes to look that up on her computer.
No, it took me 45 minutes to get through on the phone.
All right.
Her dad in the Navy?
Somebody must have been in the Navy, because those are both Navy ships.
Right. Nope, just paid attention in school.
All right. All right.
But my question is about my boyfriend. He has, I want to say, almost like a third testicle, but not really.
Well, this is where her fund of knowledge begins to break down, okay?
I'm sorry?
And go on.
Is it, it's in the sack with the other two?
Yeah, and it kind of, it's been there for about 6 months, and
why hasn't he had this checked out?
He's missed two doctor's appointments because of work and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if you knew offhand what it could be.
Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities, Meredith.
If it's something really serious.
It could be. It feels hard and sort of rock-like. It can be cancer. It could be a hernia. It could be a cystocele, spermatocele, varicocele. There's all kinds of things that can get going in there, and some of which are harmless, some of which can affect fertility, and some of which are very serious.
Yeah. So they're all sort of funny, though.
Yeah.
Initially, at least.
Yeah.
The third ball scenario is a funny one.
I think that's kind of odd, though. Like, what guy gets a third ball, and right away he's thinking, hey, it's a third ball. Like, their mind doesn't say, oh, it's cancer, or it's varicocele. They're going, wow, lucky me.
Cool. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It's an opportunity.
It's like if someone crapped in their change purse, they'd feel the weight and go, there must be more change.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in
there. Yeah. we're going to the arcade.
Tamara, take him on in, okay? He's got to get this checked out.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Good news about testicular cancer, even if that's what it is. It is highly, highly curable.
It is.
Curable.
Is that one of the ones that's better than what?
That's one of the best ones.
It is.
Really? Yeah. What's the worst one?
They add the solid tumors, adeno, lung, pancreas, pretty much any brain tumor.
But they always make such a big deal with, like, Lance Armstrong and what's his name?
But if men's brains are in their penises, then it's the same thing, right?
Well, the testicular cancer...
Third ball is brain cancer.
Interestingly, this testicular cancer makes for the brain right away.
Really?
It ascends right up. Yes, absolutely.
It's a pipeline.
Yeah, it is a pipeline.
And it just hitches a ride with it.
But, testicular cancer, it's a miserable chemo and stuff, but it's completely curable.
What cancers are they making a lot of progress on? Prostate?
All of them, except the solids. I mean, it's like 90% of cancers are really quite treatable.
What do you mean, except the solids?
The adenocarcinomas. Again, lung, pancreas, colon. The thing about colon that's such a disaster is that you can get it before it converts to a cancer by doing regular colonoscopies. There's no reason for anyone to have colon cancer in this
country.
How
old should you typically be before they start shoving that hose up here?
50, but I've already had one.
If you're poor.
And I'm only 43, so.
Oh, you've had
a
colonoscopy?
The big snake up there?
Yeah.
Did they knock you out?
Oh, yeah.
They give you a pelvic?
Yeah.
Yeah? They give you an epidural?
No, just asleep, twilight.
So they put you down and then hit you with the snake?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you sure? You sure you just didn't get some GHB and got raped outside of club?
How do you know you got snake? Maybe they just charge you for it.
No, I remember
when you wake up, do you feel kind of?
I woke up and I actually looked for a little while what they were looking at. So
you were twilighted, but you still had the video thing going.
I remember still looking.
You were stoned, but not so stoned. You couldn't watch a little tube ski there.
Little tube of tube. Yes.
Exactly.
Alec, you ever had that?
I never got snaked, no. No, I never had that happen. I'm 44. Today's my birthday, oddly enough. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
I'm 44 today. I mean, it's time to... Have we got time for a quick snake right now? He's a doctor, right?
I don't have the equipment, but we could run across the street.
Anderson could throw something together. We got enough mic cords and extra equipment back there. We could work something out.
Westwood One. Come on, we need fiber optics.
Okay. Beautiful.
Yeah, so shouldn't Alex get this until he's 50?
Did you have smoking tobacco history? You like cigars?
Cigars I smoke every now and then. I'm not vegetarian. I don't eat any red meat. So I don't drink alcohol.
So,
I don't
take
any drugs.
So 50,
you know?
50, any cancer in the family?
Yeah.
Colon?
No, my dad had lymphoma. He died when he was 55.
So
I should get snaked, huh?
No, colon. I mean, you should be thinking about it.
Well, why not just get snaked now, though?
Have you been snaked, Adam?
No.
How old are you?
I've been probed.
How old are you?
I'm 37.
You've been darted, right?
I've been darted by a middle-aged Jewish guy with a very pointy finger, like a E.T.'s finger. He put up my ass. And as he was putting it up my ass, he felt compelled to say, well, you've had this before. And I was thinking, nope, no, I haven't. But I'm not going to let him know he broke my behind. So just let him get up there and have a good time. Drew, you do have to say something as the finger's going in, do you not?
No.
Etiquette-wise? Even if it's clearing your throat or something, anything, so there's just not an uncomfortable
silence.
No,
you know what? I actually describe what I'm feeling to them.
I do.
Know the prostate's good, no masses.
Why do all the women who, like, help in a urologist's office make those jokes like that all the time? Yeah.
I
went to a urologist, I did, to get a sperm count, and the woman, like, handed me the cup, and she went, do you want some help? You know what I mean? Why do they feel that's
because
necessary?
Because you're Alec Baldwin. Yeah. I don't think anybody else gets I don't think anyone else gets those lovely...
I said that to me. I was taking it.
That's bizarre. That's a bizarre statement.
I thought, wow, I could have sued them and, you know...
There's an extra million you're crying about.
In my bag. Yeah.
Yeah, but isn't it... It's an uncomfortable situation, so people try to cut the tension by adding a little levity.
No, I did the...
I wanted a snaker right there on the spot.
I beg your pardon. I did the conceiving in the cup thing too. Isn't that a lovely experience when they
wanted to get
cup?
Counted?
Well, he didn't conceive in a cup.
No, same. Same procedure. You got to produce.
Yeah, I did that too.
Oh, you?
I produced into a cup.
When?
It was last year on the Man Show. Me and Jimmy had a competition.
Oh,
see who could produce the fastest see who had the highest sperm count.
Well, I thought you knew Jimmy's sperm count because it was floating around in that shower when you were up in Seattle.
Oh, listen to the show the other day.
Could I sue him for that?
I thought I almost had a car accident on the Long Island Expressway when you were telling that story. You said if they scratched your ankle, they get a DNA sample of Jimmy.
They would.
50,000 years from now.
Even now, yes. I'm absolutely sure.
Because my head's dangling on one of your leg hairs.
You know, once that gets in your body hair, it never comes out.
Never.
Bro.
Especially your ankle hair, which is
I don't know. You have all that
steel
experience.
Wool anyway.
Yeah.
Taking the peanut butter out of the carpet.
Oh, please. Wesley?
Yes.
You're 21. What's up?
I was calling. I had a sexual question for Dr. Drew there.
Yeah.
Me and my girlfriend, we have sex on a regular basis, but whenever we try to do doggy style, she constantly feels like she has to go to the bathroom. What's up with that? Is there anything that we can do about that?
Probably not. You're irritating her bladder neck in some way that, you know, it's sort of...
Deeper penetration?
Right, it's whatever. That's her. That's her, you know, something about the angle you're hitting her is irritating her bladder.
I see.
Certainly you can have her evacuate the bladder beforehand so that there's less chance something will come out. On the other hand, has she ever had an orgasm with you during sex?
Oh, yeah. All the time. All
right. Yeah.
All right.
Do you have a bathroom? Do you own a bathroom?
I'm talking to her right now. She's here.
Okay, well,
all right.
Put her on.
She seems anxious to broadcast about this.
Hello?
Hi.
What's your name?
Polly.
Polly?
You're fat.
All right, Drew, please. And you feel like you have to urinate doggy style, correct?
Yes.
And you couldn't just lift your leg and go? I mean, you're in the doggy style. So keep it going, yeah.
Yeah. You're in the zone.
Right. Oh, I guess you would squat as a female. That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, and Polly?
Yeah.
So you have orgasms in other positions?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well,
he's an animal.
Yeah, so listen, you can't fake your orgasm in the doggy like you do in the other positions?
Well, I'll end up being all over the bed, so.
Okay, so... Evacuate your urine.
So you're saying,
wait.
That's what I was trying to get at with her. So you feel like if you were to orgasm in that position, you would have incontinence. You'd pee.
Yes.
So it's not just that you feel irritated and feel an urge to pee. It's that orgasming in that position would lead to incontinence.
Yes.
All right. Well, there's such a thing, and that's just you. And if you don't want that to happen, switch position.
But she doesn't have incontinence and doesn't feel that way in other positions.
Right.
Female
orgasmic incontinence.
It's good times.
Good times.
You ever get that, Alec?
Oh, yeah. Whenever I have an orgasm,
I mean with your lady friends.
Do they wet the bed after they come?
Well, this is something that apparently goes on a lot, and I've never really experienced it. On the other hand, I've never been in the room when someone had an orgasm either, so I guess I wouldn't experience it, but... They say this goes on a lot.
Most of the women I've known, they bleed from the gums after they come. I don't know.
Really?
What do you call that?
Yeah, you mean their fillings just start popping out? And
female dental hematoma.
Smoke starts coming from their ears.
What is it?
Yeah, that's...
No, that's a new one for me.
That's a good hump.
You're a doctor.
I'll have to invent a name for it.
We'll come up with something. No, they don't pee in the bed when I do that.
They don't?
Yeah. I said, I think that line from Where's Papa. Remember that in Where's Papa, the movie Where's Papa?
I remember the movie.
When George Segal was in bed with his wife, his girlfriend, and he says to her, and she says, I was married before. And he said, tell me about your first marriage. And she said, well, we got married. We went on our honeymoon. We got to bed. We saved ourselves for our wedding night. And he made passionate love to me. And then he rolled over, and George Segal says, "What?" She goes, and she starts crying, and she's sobbing, and she goes, he, and George Segal goes, "What, what?" She goes, he crapped in the bed. And George Segal says, "He what?" And the woman goes, and he said, "Doesn't everyone?" You ever saw that movie?
No.
Where's Papa?
I should rent that. I didn't know there was fecal humor.
Now all your fans watch that.
All right, everyone watch
Signed
Where's
viewing.
Papa. Listen, our audience loves George Segal. They love a guy in his mid-60s who plays the trombone. No, the banjo. Does he play the banjo? John? John?
Yes.
Yes, you're 16. What's up?
Hey, well, I was just calling to ask that I was making out with my girlfriend, and I was leaving, when I was leaving her house to go home, her mom came up to me, and she was just asking me if I've ever dated an older girl or anything like that.
Right.
She was kind of putting her hands on me. You know?
Right. Yeah.
Liar, whore, you know it.
Please, this is so weak.
I didn't know what to expect.
You're a worse actor than I am. Yeah.
How old are you? What's his name? Steve?
John.
Yeah. John, how old are you really, John?
16.
You're 16?
Yes.
Okay.
No, you are a complete spaz, John. You cannot pull this lie off.
Why?
Because there's no woman that would be attracted to your retainer-wearing spindly ass this point. I see you very clearly. Your head is as narrow as a coin when it's on its side. You're all braces, and your hair's all over the place, and you're spindly, and your scrotum hasn't dropped yet.
You're the
no
guy that jumps
way.
Off the bridge in Saturday Night Fever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's you. You're like a young George Segal.
Do you play the trombone, John?
No, it is the banjo, I believe.
The banjo?
All right, that's it, John. You're wasting our time. You understand this is a very important show. Alec Baldwin's a very important man. Drew's a doctor. I'm me. And you're wasting all of our time. Do you understand?
Well, I'm sorry if you don't believe me, but...
Yes, we don't.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'll see you in hell.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
All right.
We'll chill together.
All right. No, I will torture you. I'll torment you. Because let me tell you what I'm going to do in hell. I'm going to immediately buddy up to Satan. I'm going to start kissing his ass immediately. Like, hey, I'm a big fan. You know, like what people do with you, Alec. Big fan.
Yeah. Love your work.
Loved your work. There's that movie where Bob De Niro played you, and then one where Bill Cosby played you. But the point is I love your work. I'm a big fan. And look, let's get to work here. This is a big job. You're a busy man. You're going to need a guy to look after the place. And I would then torment the people in there. Sort of like, you know, even in prison, there's guys that are in good with the guards, in good with the warden. They get some extra cigarettes and things like that.
Yeah.
That's going to be me in hell.
Yeah, you're like Vic Morrow in hell.
Yeah, I'm gonna kiss up.
Who like sucks up to the screws.
I'm gonna suck up. Yeah. And I'm gonna win Satan over, and I'm gonna lull him to sleep, and that's when I make my break.
And what's the break?
Like over the wall.
Oh, you're going over the wall.
I'm going the wall.
Busting out of hell.
I'm busting up.
To purgatory.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Once in purgatory, I'm gonna get rid of that red jumpsuit, and I'm gonna kiss someone else's ass, and I'm gonna make it up in heaven.
You're gonna get to the pearly gates. You're gonna kiss Gabriel's ass.
That's right. I may
love
even
your work.
May like blow his horn, and then it's right on through. All right, we'll take a little break. Alec Baldwin's our guest, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Alec Baldwin has been kind enough to join us in the studio tonight, and we are thrilled to have him. I, like I said, ran into him in an airport, and he wanted to come on the show, and here he is with nothing to plug. God bless him. Megan?
Yes?
You're 25?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
I was actually calling to comment on the previous caller who had mentioned that she felt like she was going to urinate when she was having sex from behind.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that's pretty a common side effect of G-spot stimulation for a lot of women, especially women who have female ejaculations.
Mm-hmm.
That may or may not be true.
Okay.
But do you... do you have G spots, by the way? I thought that was just something you guys made up us.
No. They exist.
something we couldn't find.
Yeah.
They exist.
Yeah.
And do you have female ejaculation?
Yeah.
And is that every time you have an orgasm?
No, it's only with specific G-spot stimulation. It's not with a regular clitoral orgasm.
And what does that mean to you, G-spot stimulation?
The anterior wall of the...
And how does that work for you?
How does that work for me?
Yeah, how does that happen for you?
Usually with fingers.
Jesus Christ. You know, from an evolutionary standpoint, we're going to have to grow a second dick to keep up.
Well,
we are, because you got a third mouth.
You're going to have to get a knuckle on your dick, I think.
Yeah, see, like a speed bump, because you have the oral orgasm now, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have the clitoral. We have the clitoral orgasm, and you have the penetration orgasm, and now you're having a G-spot orgasm?
It's basically two orgasms. You have the clitoral, which is the same as, you know, generally speaking, the oral.
Right.
And then some women have what is either termed vaginal or G-spot orgasm.
Right, and those are probably a mix of different things
exactly.
in different people. So
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So you're saying that if you have the sensation of urination in a doggy style intercourse, that it must be that the person has female ejaculation syndrome?
I don't care anymore. Syndrome or disease. I'm simply saying that his penis is probably rubbing against her G spot.
I see.
Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Yeah. Isn't that what you want?
Well, it usually subsides if you keep going. That's the thing.
She
look at this stuff online. I mean,
she should push through it.
I've never heard about this before.
Yeah, but this stuff is all sort of conjecture, really.
Maybe. Well, it's not conjecture. You're talking to somebody right now.
This is voodoo orgasm.
There are hundreds of women out there who experience the same thing.
Absolutely, but it's conjecture as to what exactly is going on biologically at this point.
Yeah, voodoo orgasm.
Voodoo orgasm, I think. But basically, she said it's oral stimulation for the one, and the other was you know, with your finger. So the Johnson just doesn't fit in at all. There,
right?
Doesn't come in at all, right?
I've learned from this show that women have almost no use for the penis.
They have none.
They really don't. They all want oral sex.
Can we ask her what she thinks of that? Does the penis have a function?
Megan?
Yes, it definitely does.
It does.
What is it? What would you say? What's the function?
It's to hold up a sombrero during the victory dance
right.
afterwards.
It's to put your wedding ring on while you're
No, I usually do clitoral stimulation with penis penetration. It's not like you can have, it's not like it's either or.
I see. You do it, you manually do
mm-hmm.
clitoral with the hand?
Or with a toy or with whatever.
I see. Okay. All right, you're scaring me, Seth.
There are women that will have orgasmic incontinence and or ejaculation with exactly what you're describing. So the G-spot thing may or may not be a part of it. So.
Orgasmic incontinence. I love that.
Yeah. It's something that I think a guy would like initially, but then soon grow tired of in a
what
long relationship.
What kind of incontinence do you have incontinence?
Orgasmic. No. I have incontinence. I have dream incontinence where I dream I'm taking a leak about...
Tell him your story. He's never heard this one.
We
haven't told this story in a long time about when you were at your girlfriend's house and you had that lovely dream about the...
I wet my girlfriend's bed many years ago while I was sleeping with her.
You have what? You have like barley, hops, malt, and...
No,
right?
The dream was very interesting, though.
The dream was... I have a lot of violent dreams, and I was in front of a castle on like a fjord with the...
A bog, with the
steam on the ground, the fog and everything. And I was doing battle and doing nicely, slaying people with the swords and whatnot. And I just got done slaying everybody and realized I got to take a leak badly. And I was undoing my armor as fast as I could do it. But I realized I didn't really know how to undo my... My bronze underpants, because I didn't put them on. They were on when I started the dream, you know. So I started to get them out, and I just remember dropping those bronze underpants and just leaking on the side of the castle, like looking up thinking, this is the end of a good day. You know, I killed a bunch of, like, Huns,
yeah.
And now I'm taking a leak on the castle. And then then I looked up, and I was looking at, like, that cottage cheese acoustic ceiling, and I thought, that's an interesting sky above the castle. And then,
right.
Then I thought, wait a minute, I'm not standing at all. I'm horizontal. Yeah. And then I said, oh, Christ, I'm
a
girlfriend.
That's not a minotaur. That's my girlfriend.
Right. So I woke up, and the thing that's funny about, and you guys should do this just as a psychological experiment, when you, it's hard to maintain your masculinity and be in a pool of your own urine at the same time. I reverted to like a 4.5-year-old. I was like, and it's tough when you got to wake them up and tell them.
Your girlfriend.
So it's just like, yeah, hey, baby, I made messy. You know, like, I made pee-pee. Pee was immediate, like four. And she's like, huh? And she immediately snapped and then, get up. And I couldn't do anything. I was like, huh? I, like, stood and she flipped things and pulled stuff off and flipped stuff around.
So you have Nordic fantasy incontinence.
Yes.
Medieval.
Nordic yes, I have fantasy, a medieval, yes. Medieval incontinence. And so... the really worst part is we were only together for another, like, 4 months. But she would always... It'd be like 4:30 in the afternoon. I'd be drinking a beer. She's like, "Are you sure it's a good idea?"
Yeah.
Like, all right, come on, please.
She's talking about your ass right now. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that was old Stephanie. Yeah, it was good times. Yeah, broke my heart, that bitch. True, broke my heart. Oh, you want to talk to Matt over here?
Sure,
Matt. And I've done it. I've done it 15 times since then. And Drew, you think that's a problem? Do you not?
Yeah, wedding, I put wedding that in bed? The problem category.
Once,
yeah.
Twice a year?
Sure, I put that in.
See, I think that's healthy. So you agree to disagree?
Yes.
Matt?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was down in Mexico, and they got these prescription drugs. They have them here, too, I think, called Somas or Somacid.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take three, it's like a muscle relaxant.
Yeah.
You can take like three or four of them. It's like being drunk but better, and start hallucinating a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know, like, what can I do to you? Like, can it mess you up? And
yeah, they can be highly addictive. It's actually converted by your body into something that used to be called Miltowns, meprobamate. And when you get addicted to this stuff, which happens pretty easily, and I've treated a number of these now. It is hell to get off this drug. It's one of the worst detoxes you can possibly go through, one of them. And don't mess with this. Okay. And it's a severe sedative. You can overdose on it pretty easily. But
and, Matt, just in general, at 15, trying to get out of your mind high is probably not a great sign.
Where do you live, Matt?
Phoenix.
You live in Phoenix.
So you go over the border and you go into Mexico and you just walk into the pharmacy and grab these things?
Yeah, they got every 5 feet down the street. You just go in there and be like, Somas, and then they sell you for like 10 cents a pill.
Mm. They got a world championship baseball club there in Phoenix, man. Can't you just like get in the bleachers and have a couple beers and
15.
Unwind? You know?
All right, one beer.
All right, well, you know, you sound like you're 40, quite frankly, your voice, you know, or is that from, do you have soma laryngitis or whatever it is?
Are you loaded right now?
Are you loaded, man?
No.
Dude.
Hey, Matt.
He smokes a little pot, that's why it sounds like that.
Matt, I just want to tell you truthfully, I grew up in North Hollywood with a lot of guys who did a lot of stuff, and it's just basically... They're most of them are alive now, and most of them are sober now. But from age 15 or 16 to age like 28, your life is completely gone.
Right.
You just get high, you spend a lot of money, you get no education, you move nowhere, you have a lot of relationships that are screwed up, a lot of family relationships that are screwed up, and then somewhere as you get around 30 and you stop producing so much testosterone and you've screwed up and got 100 DUIs and, you know, spent too many nights in jail and stuff, eventually you go, all right, this is enough, I'm tired of this, and you dust yourself off, and then you begin... What you should have began when you were 17, except for you're 31.
Bingo.
So why bother with that whole
dance,
Matt?
It's a toy you play with, and the sooner you put it down, the better.
All right, Matt.
All right, thank you.
There you go. Knock it off, please.
All right.
All right. Let's talk to Eric, who's 29. Eric?
I have a question for the doctor.
All right.
For Dr. Drew, I have, like, sort of an embarrassing problem. Like, when I'm aroused... I get, like, a lot of pre-cum.
A leaky gasket.
Yeah, very leaky. And And it's kind of like, I'm kind of self-conscious about that. I was wondering, do you know if there's any, like, medications or any herbs
no.
that could reduce?
No, definitely not. You might be able to...
About just stuffing some kitty litter down that urethra to soak it up before you leave the house. I could get it down there.
Yeah, I know. With your dart. But again, that.
Snake it. Well, you just load it like you're loading a musket, you know? Right. You get the horn of litter and you just stuff it down the urethra.
Get that Davy Crockett kind of powder
right.
bag, you know?
Right.
Keep your powder dry.
Yeah.
Eric, no, there really is no good way. You might want to do the Kegel exercises, some muscular contraction might help it, but probably this is just you.
So, Eric.
Yeah?
If you were, like, let's say, making out with a young lady for a period of time, and then you went home, there'd be a big spot in your underpants?
Yeah, there would be.
And
it's kind of sticky.
Yeah, okay, buddy.
We got that part.
Yikes.
Okay.
Sticky, you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Get that down.
And do you have a girlfriend?
Not really, not right now.
But don't you think if you had a girlfriend, you could kind of work this out?
Well, kind of in the past, I've had partners that didn't want to go down on me because they didn't like the taste of pre-cum. So it can be a kind of a problem, you know. It can interfere with my sex life.
Are you gay or straight?
I'm actually bi.
Yeah, okay.
Well, the guys weren't into it either?
Well, some of them yes, some of them no, but it can create problems because, you know, some people don't like, you know.
You know, Eric's, hang on a second, Eric. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Eric is the equivalent in a male of the little girl voice. I mean, imagine, how old do you say he was?
Well, I know he's 29 because I'm looking at the thing, but he sounds like he's 14 and a half.
Yeah.
Like he's wearing a wind-up beanie or something and has a slingshot hanging out of his back pocket covered with pre-cum. Eric?
Yeah?
What happened to you? Anything? Were you molested?
No.
What turned you into the voice that we hear today? Anything? You really?
Yeah.
What nationality are you?
Hispanic.
Do you own a ranch in Ojai?
No.
No trauma in your history?
No trauma?
Yeah.
Not really.
Well, what does not really mean?
Well, what kind of trauma are you talking about?
Well, like...
Violence in the home.
Yeah, anyone beat on you or molest you or anything?
Not really.
What does not really mean?
I'd say no. I kicked ass a few times when I was in... junior high and stuff. So
I see. But your dad never raised a hand to you?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Nor a priest.
No priest, nothing. When did you lose your virginity?
Well, I kind of grew up in a rural area, so I don't know what you mean by virginity. If you're talking about Bill Clinton's definition, I didn't lose it until I was in my 20s. But if you're talking about just getting a blowjob, then I might have got one when I was like 15, 16. So... depends on your definition of sex.
Yeah, Eric.
He's all over the map.
Yeah,
Eric, what do you do for a living?
I think Eric's just gay.
Yeah.
And he's done dealing with it.
Eric, you're gay.
You shouldn't judge me just based on my voice. Actually, I am bi.
Right.
I've slept with both.
I've said this many.
I think your penis is trying to tell you something.
Right? Yes. Bi is...
penis is telling you what you are.
Women can be bi. Bi for guys is gay with a publicist, basically, which is you're really gay, you just don't know it.
Right.
You'd rather be called bi. Right.
Bi is you have an album you're releasing.
Well, then why have I had sex with girls and enjoyed it?
Well, you have a small penis, you fag. And
what was that? It was Clinton. Listen, any gay guy can slip up. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean slip up?
They have sex with a woman. Eric, what do you do for a living?
I'd rather not say.
All right. Okay, listen. I would,
What does that have to do with a leaky dick?
I don't know.
We're getting off the subject, but anyway.
All right. You do the Kegel exercises and open yourself up to the notion of being gay full-time. All right? We all get that vibe off of you. And who knows? Maybe you'll even get Alec Baldwin.
And especially just all the intellectual defensiveness that you...
trying to dangle a carrot out in front of me, see?
All that defense is... intellectualizing is not real. It's justifying. It's trying to make things a certain way when they're not.
Something seemed up with it. All right, we'll take a break. Alec Baldwin's our guest tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Madam Carolla, that's Dr. Drew. Sorry the show had to interrupt us. We were, Alec was up on the mountain delivering the sermon in here, and I was enjoying it. And Drew, you know I like to be the one who's talking all the time.
I've never seen Adam shut up and listen. Alec, I want to thank you.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to back off now for the remaining moments of the program, but Adam, have a jam session there.
No, I appreciated it. I was really, I'll tell you, Alec Baldwin, not only a fine actor, but so much to say. And
a theoretician.
Yeah, and people always want to know about you and your politics and politics
GW,
and that
right?
kind of stuff.
For and study political science. Yeah, I mean that's the school.
I graduated from NYU.
Do you have those aspirations politically?
You know, I used to, but not anymore. Not the way things are today.
Uh-huh.
I just think it's really
scary.
It's another thing. I mean, on both sides. I mean, I'm as repulsed by, you know, John Corzine buying a Senate seat in New Jersey as I am by, you know, the way Clinton was dealt. Dirty in the impeachment thing. There's no one to look up to.
Yeah.
I mean, in that world, I think one thing people crave eternally is someone to look up to.
It's interesting, but it's the same thing you were just talking about in your film business, too. Same flattening of quality.
Yeah. Oh, it's dreadful. It's the Bronze Age right now. It's the age of mediocrity right now.
Yeah, well, does anyone... We got calls, but screw those calls for a second. I'm wondering if society's become... I mean, politics used to be something that people followed, like people used to listen to the radio. And now there's so much going on, and there's so much distraction, that I think people are like, look, as long as the Nintendo works and the satellite dish works and there's gas for my car, I'm staying out of it.
Well,
I don't even know who's...
Louis Lapham, who writes for Harper's, he's the editor of Harper's Magazine, he wrote a wonderful book of essays called Hotel America. And he said that the basic mindset of the American public today, the majority of Americans, is that they're like guests in a hotel. And their attitude toward the government in general is like that of a hotel guest. And they just think, if you keep bringing the ice and the fresh towels, I'm fine. I really don't care what you do. I don't care what your political affiliation is. Just keep the ice and the fresh towels coming and I'm cool.
Yeah. And everyone seems to have a fairly short memory for guys who F up royally a couple years back when it comes time to
Like Gary Condit, that was a big, big story. And you wonder, was it a big story in order to demonize a Democratic candidate and help even throw the numbers game into more tumult in the Congress? Because they're always counting those seats in the
right.
House, you know what I mean? And they're going to bring down one Democrat. It's only like a 9-seat margin, you know what I mean? So if they can topple this guy in California. And the question becomes, when you look at the media now, what did happen to Chandra Levy? You know, where is she?
They don't care.
Dropped, gone.
Right.
Now the Condit's out of office. This woman doesn't even exist. This young woman that was, you know, presumably killed.
Yeah, that's the point. And
it's telling, in a way.
How could he be a Democrat with that haircut, though, by the way? He had such a Republican look to him that Condit did. He didn't have a Democratic vibe. I'll tell you, I'm for forced sterilization of minorities and other things like that. They're what some people deem controversial, but I'll tell you when I hear who's the mayor up there? Who's doing that work up in? Is that Tom Hayden up there? Who's up in San Francisco now doing his thing? Jerry Brown.
Jerry Brown.
I'm all right with that guy. Yeah, Drew hates.
What's he doing
Drew
now?
Well, I just mean, I want someone to get up there and just be real and
stir
just have a real conversation and just stir it up and stop acting like you're reading from a teleprompter. I'd like to have one human being just stand up and sound like he didn't have anything to prepare and he wasn't choosing his words too carefully and just sort of be a human being.
Well, Nader tried to do that.
Oh, maybe it was
I didn't support Nader, and there's a lot of things I didn't like about Nader, but the one thing you can't take away from him, I thought when Nader said that there was no distinction between the Republican and Democratic candidate, that was a very, very mean-spirited and destructive thing to say, and an untruthful thing to say. But nonetheless, you can't take away from Nader that when he gets rolling, I mean, he's like Chomsky, you know what I mean? When he gets rolling, he's got a lot to say about the corporatization of America and so forth. He's right on the money.
Yeah. I like him because he got that crappy Cortina car off the road.
Corvair.
The Corvair, yeah.
Speaking of penises.
Yeah.
Brian, 19.
Hello?
Hey, Brian.
Yeah, question for Alec?
Yeah, I was at the movies the other day,
And I was watching the previews for Some of All Fears, where Ben Affleck's playing Jack Ryan, the role that Alex started. It doesn't seem to be of the same quality as you portrayed, so I was wondering if you'd be willing to play that role again, or like, what's the deal with that?
Are you talking about from Red October?
Yeah.
I think I would probably get offered that role again. I would sooner grow a third testicle than I would get offered that role again. Yeah, it's just, I'm too old for that now.
But, well, the new books, you'd probably be perfect.
I think Ben is going to be really good in that film. I did Pearl Harbor with Ben, and I love Ben. He was a lot of fun to work with, and I think he's got a great quality for that role. And I think actually he's more the right age for the role than what's his name that was playing the role in the previous few films? I mean, the Jack Ryan character should really be more 40 than 60.
Yeah.
And so I think Ben is going to be great. I think he's going to be fabulous. Yeah. I love Ben. He's a lovely guy. He's a lot of fun.
He told me he thought he was gay during the commercial break, and he asked me not to say anything on the
Well, I said,
side.
You look like Ben. Said, you remind me of Ben.
That's right.
I think I could be a bald one. I think the bald ones have a nice mixture.
There's already an Adam Baldwin.
Is there an Adam
change
Baldwin?
Your name. Your name should be Guy Baldwin.
Guy Baldwin.
Yeah.
I should just start calling myself Guy Baldwin, see if I can get laid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have members of my family that changed their name to Baldwin, and it's not their name. Like, I have a cousin.
Oh, his really? He went for the Baldwin?
His last name was like, Testaverde or something. It was like
nice.
Italian, and he changed it. Because he thinks it's going to help him. And I'm thinking, that's not even going to get you a bleacher seat at Shea. You know, what are you talking about?
Uh-huh. He wants to be an actor, so he...
Yeah, he thinks it's like, he missed the train.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of penises.
All right, we have to take ourselves a little break. Me and my new Baldwin brother are going to have ourselves a little conversation about what's wrong with life. Drew, you're going to hang out with us?
I'll listen, yes.
We'll be right back after this. Well, that's it, everybody. Another fantabulous Love Line show safely in the ground. I want to thank Jamie Bergman for coming in here from Son of the Beach, 10 o'clock Tuesday nights, FX. And Alec Baldwin from Knott's Landing.
Thank you. Thank you.
NBC, I believe, 10 o'clock. I'm not sure when
WB.
It's on. Check your local listings, everyone. Our extreme pleasure to have Alec Baldwin on the show. He was a delight, and you're welcome back anytime.
My pleasure.
So, until next time, this is Adam Kroller for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
He crapped in the bed.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.